The Old Testament reading for New Year's Eve is from Isaiah chapter 30. And now go, write it before them on a tablet, and inscribe it in a book, that it may be for the time to come as a witness forever. For they are a rebellious people, lying children, children unwilling to hear the instruction of the Lord, who say to the seers, "Do not see," and to the prophets, "Do not prophesy to us what is right. Speak to us smooth things. Prophesy illusions. Leave the way. Turn aside from the path. Let us hear no more about the Holy One of Israel." Therefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel, "Because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness and rely on them, therefore this iniquity shall be to you like a breach in a high wall, bulging out and about to collapse, whose breaking comes suddenly in an instant, and its breaking is like that of a potter's vessel that is smashed so ruthlessly that among its fragments not a shard is found with which to take fire from the hearth or to dip up water out of the cistern. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and trust shall be your strength. But you were unwilling, and you said, 'No, we will flee upon horses.' Therefore you shall flee away, and we will ride upon swift steeds, and therefore your pursuers shall be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the threat of one. At the threat of five you shall flee, till you are left like a flagstaff on the top of a mountain, like a signal on a hill." O Lord, have mercy upon us. The epistle is from Romans chapter 8. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, "For your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered." No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. O Lord, have mercy upon us. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Please rise for the Gospel. Jesus said, "Stay dressed for action, and keep your lamps burning, and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds them awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect." O Lord, have mercy upon us. Our sermon text today is the Gospel lesson just read, Luke chapter 12, 35 to 40. In 1973, my parents moved from a three-bedroom ranch house in San Jose to a four-bedroom home only about a mile away from their first house. They moved so that each teenager would have his or her own bedroom. There was only one problem with the new house. The backyard fence faced an open lot that was adjacent to a main street. In the first couple of nights, we found out what that meant when hot rodders, motorcycles without mufflers, and fire trucks went roaring by and woke us all up. But after a while, we got used to the noise. It wasn't that bad. On Christmas Eve that year, after the 7:30 p.m. church service, we found out the other problem with the house when we came home and found out it had been broken into. Fortunately, not much of value was stolen, since we had apparently surprised the thief and he had left in a rush. My father thought that our little dog Penny, wasn't bigger than that he would serve as a deterrent, but there was evidence that the thief had fed Penny dog bone biscuits and bribed him. So that's when we found out that our invincible watchdog could be bribed. After talking to the police, they said break-ins would always be a threat as long as the lot behind our property was open and next to a main street. My father saw this threat as a challenge, and so he proceeded to invent and construct his own security alarm system. This was before they were available from Radio Shack, and he was an electronics engineer. He'd worked for ADT while going to college, and he knew what needed to be done. After several tests, we were sure that if Penny didn't stop a thief, the alarm system would. The next Christmas was spent at relatives in San Francisco for most of the day. When we got home late in the evening, we were unpleasantly surprised that another break-in had occurred exactly a year later. This time, since we were gone so long, the thief stole all the jewelry my mother had inherited from her grandmother, mother, and aunts, and all the valuable jewelry my dad had given her for presents. The thief stole all of my father's rifles and pistols, including a few very valuable ones. They stole my brother's brand new hi-fi system, my dad's new audio receiver and tape deck, my dad's extensive SLR camera gear, and a few other things of value. Just about everything of saleable value in the house that could be carried away and handed to an accomplice over the fence was stolen, and it was never recovered. I'll tell you, that was not a very merry Christmas in our house. And I'm sure that the dog was very glad that the security system got the blame this time. The next spring, my dad increased the height of our backyard fence, but that didn't help. The thieves made one or two more break-ins at my parents' house during holiday seasons. We were a target. Then, just in time, a developer built a large professional building on the open lot, and that's still there today. And that put an end to the break-ins, but not to my parents' alertness to the ever-present threat of break-ins and thievery. And they still have an alarm system that works today. If you come over to their house, I'll show you where it is. I'm not making this story up. In our gospel lesson this evening, Jesus puts you in the place of my parents and other homeowners that have to deal with break-ins. Jesus says, if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Now, I can testify that if my father knew what hour the thief would have come, he would have sat in a chair in his family room with a shotgun aimed at the backyard patio door. Any thief who broke and entered our house would have known the meaning of my dad's NRA sticker on his pickup truck. But the problem is, The thief doesn't announce his arrival in advance. Stealth is his main trick of the trade. The thief's personal survival depends on it, and he knows it. Now, you can protect your house all you want, watchdogs, double bolt latches, security systems, whatever. But the real reason a thief makes a profit is that you never know when he will act. He watches you and your property. And when your guard is down, whammo, he's made off with your valuable stuff. Now, the point of this comparison is that Christians all around the world know that Jesus will come again someday to judge them and the rest of the world. We call it the last day. We all confess this in the Apostles' Creed. So there's no secret about Jesus returning to judge. But when it is, nobody knows. Many Christians try to figure out when that will be, but Jesus says over and over again in the Gospels of that day and hour, no one knows. No, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. That was from Matthew 24:36. Even though Christians know Jesus will return unexpectedly, and they confess this, they don't always act that way. Many Christians think they have all the time in the world, or at least until their very old age. And then they will take Jesus' warning seriously. At least that might be their plan. The Apostle Peter heard this sermon of Jesus, and the verse following our gospel, in verse 41, he asked Jesus, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people? Peter thought that Jesus was giving a warning to those who weren't disciples of Jesus, or what we today would call nuns or non-Christians. Jesus did not give a direct answer and instead continued the parable in verses 42 to 48. He told of a servant who said in his heart, My master is delayed, and then beat up other servants and got drunk. When the master returned, he cut that servant in two and sent him to the place of unbelievers, and that's hell. Another servant knew his master's will and intent, but did not prepare himself or do according to his master's will. And this servant was beaten with many stripes. Another servant did not know his master's will, committed acts worthy of beatings, and he was beaten with a few stripes because of his ignorance. And all these servants in the parable are servants of the master, and that indicates they're servants of God. They are believers of some sort or another. It is clear then from the entire pericope, if you read it from 35 to 48, that's the verses there, that Jesus' parable of the thief in the night is a warning to Christians. Why would unbelievers even listen to this parable or its warning? It is a warning to you, your family, your friends, and any loved ones who claim to be Christian. You need to be ready for Jesus to return any day, any year, any hour. The Christian faith is not something that's merely information like a philosophy or a science, although it does have a lot of information. It contains something that you need to do, that is, you need to be ready for Jesus' return. Whether that happens to you at your death or for the whole world when Jesus returns. And it means that you first readily confess your sins, you try to avoid sin, you hear the word of God, receive his sacraments, and you trust solely in Christ's merits for the forgiveness of sins, for life and eternal salvation. And if you don't do those four things, you're not really ready for Jesus' return, for when he comes back. I hope and pray that all of you are among those who are ready, to whom Jesus will say at the end of days, Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the kingdom prepared for you by my Father in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.